today on Living on Every Word.
Where are you? It's a good question. Where are you? Because when God asks the question, where are you? It's an opportunity to examine my life and give an honest assessment so that I could be back where I belong, in fellowship and in unity and oneness with God. Where are you?
If you want to go anywhere in life, knowing where you are is crucial. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher poses the question, where are you? In hopes of getting us where we need to be, in part one of Questions for Reflection.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at a couple of verses, and we'll look at some context here. I want to talk about this morning some questions from God on reflection. Reflection is a very important thing in our lives as a Christian. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves. And you know, when you open the pages of Scripture, God asks some very specific questions, especially of Adam and Eve. And you know, when I think about these questions, I think about them not as something that is intimidating and not that it's something that's to cause us to be undone, but just to reflect in the places that we are. And this one question that God would ask Adam and Eve in verse 9, where the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? Where are you? And the Bible says in verse 8 that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. I hid myself. You know, when I think about reflection of my life and where I am in life, and I ask very important questions, very important assessments of where I am spiritually, what I believe, what I value, and how I live, talk, think, respond, and carry on in my life, I want to look at my life in a relationship with Christ. I want to look at my life as a husband with John Ann. I want to look at my life as a dad with my children, a grandfather with my grandchildren, a pastor in his church. A man who has friends and a man who has enemies. And to examine my life and to ask the question, where am I? What am I up to? What is God doing? I want to look at my life to examine and look at myself in the mirror so I can give an honest assessment so that I can grow in the appropriate places that God is wanting me to grow in. If you want to grow today in Christ, if you want to grow in your marriage, if you want to grow in your business, in your career, and where you are, you have to examine where you are. You have to look at the places that you are today. Now, when you look at this context of where are you, it's not a good context. It's not. What you find here is that man has sinned, and they've sinned in their perfect state because that's what they are. They're perfect. God created Adam and Eve. According to Genesis 1:27, he created them in God's image. And creating man in his image was in order so that we might have relationship with this great God, that we might have fellowship with him, that we might walk with him, that we might talk with him, that we might have conversation with him, that we might be one with him. That is God's desire. Whether you feel it, whether you believe it, whether you've experienced it or not, that is the desire of heaven, that God invites you into relationship with him, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it's a great place that God invites you to. And he desires you there. And this man and this woman, in their perfection, walked with God. They knew God. They understood God. And they were perfect. And yet, as we see in Scripture, God says, in this perfection, you do have a choice. You do have a free will. Matter of fact, everything in this garden is yours to enjoy, except one tree, the tree that's in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God is saying, listen, I've created you in this image, and yet there are boundaries. There is a command here, and it's your choice. You have a choice. And of course, we know the story in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. This enemy comes and appeals to them. He corrupts the scripture. He says, listen, you're not going to die. God knows that in the day that you eat from this tree, you'll be like him, knowing good from evil. The Bible says something very, very specific, and it's how we are all tempted. In verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. All of a sudden, in this one moment, where they sin and where they walk in rebellion to God, they lose something. They lose the relationship that they had with God that was so pure and so holy and so rich and so real and so vibrant and so alive. They lost it. And as a result, the Bible says that through that one sin that entered one man, sin entered into the whole world. The choice was, listen, avoid this, or you can embrace it. And they choose to embrace it. And it brings death. It brings shame. It brings upheaval. It brings disappointment. It brings separation. So much that they begin to hide. Because they don't know what to do. They don't understand. They've been walking with God in the cool of the day. And all of a sudden they know God's coming along as is his habit. And so what is it? They are feeling this shame. They're feeling this guilt. They're feeling all these emotions that every one of us have felt when we've been caught in our sin. And what do? They run to hide. And that's our old nature there. Our old nature wants to run and hide. But if you're in Christ, you don't have to run and hide. When I hear God saying, where are you? I see a great God and a great Father who says, hey, son, where are you? Where are you? Why aren't we walking together? I enjoy it as much as you do, is what the Father says. And where are you? I'm looking for our walk. I'm looking for our communication. Where are you? Well, I'm hiding from you. Why? Because I know I've disappointed you. I'm hiding from you because I'm in sin here. Or he doesn't maybe know what sin is, and maybe he's not saying it that way, but he knows there's something drastically wrong. We have this benefit of knowing this great God beyond the cross, filled with the Holy Spirit, to know that when we blow it, we have a God to run to for restoration. Not to hide from, but to run to. Some of us have raised kids. And when they do what's wrong, they hide. They don't run to us. They hide. But, oh, what is the son that might pick up the phone and say, Dad, Mom, I need you. I'm not doing so good. I met with a friend, not from this church, in the past couple of weeks, whose son called up and said, Dad, I've blown it. I've gotten drunk, and I've spent my whole college money that you've sent, and I've spent it on gambling. And Dad, I need you. I don't need you to bail me out, but I just need you. I need to confess. Listen, that son understood a relationship with the Father that wants to know where his son is. And I want to tell you, that's a very great illustration for me. That's a painful illustration for the family. Very painful, because sin does have consequences, right? You want to go gamble some of your dad's money away? You want to go dishonor that? There's consequences to that. No question. Every one of us could say, yeah, there are consequences, and there are going to be consequences for Adam and Eve. But I want to tell you one of the consequences that God does not have in mind, and that's being separated from him for eternity. That's not what God wants. That's why when we have scriptures like, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. No power on this earth. No sin. No failure. No season in my life. There's nothing high. There's nothing low that can separate us from the love of the Father. Amen? So let's run to him. Let's not hide. Because when God asks the question, where are you? I think that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to examine my life and give an honest assessment so that I can be back where I belong, in fellowship and in unity and oneness with God. Where are you? If you've met with me anytime, I'm going to ask the question, what's God doing in your life? What's happening in your life? It's another way of saying, where are you today? Some of us live dark lives because we're afraid and we're hiding ourselves from this great God who wants to have relationship with us. And it's when we move from the fear and we cross over to that threshold of saying, God, I'm coming home no matter what. I'm not going to hide myself. I'm going to lay myself bare. Here am I. It's the day we understand the love, the unconditional love of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where are you? It's a good question. Where are you? Where are you right now? Are you hiding from the presence of God? Are you where you belong, running to His throne room of grace and mercy to find grace and mercy in time of need? It's a good question to ask in every area of my life. But I ask the question of you this morning is, where are you? And maybe you need to be asking the question, where am I, God? Show me where I am. There may be some of you here today that are lost, blind, never had a born-again experience with Christ. You don't know what it's like to have the Heavenly Father love on you, bless you, speak over you, where you've grown in a vibrant faith in Christ Jesus. Have you received Christ? Have you believed in the substitutionary death of Jesus in your place, who died in your place as a free gift of salvation? Where are you? Are you lost or have you been found? Are you in the pit somewhere or are you on the rock? Where are you in terms of maturity? Keep your place there or mark it and go to 1 John, if you would. 1 John, and we're going to look at chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 12. Where are you in terms of maturity in your walk with Christ? Because there's different maturity stages. I'm writing to you little children, infants, because your sins, verse 12, have been forgiven you for His namesake. I'm writing to you fathers, those mature in the faith, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing you young men, young women, those that are not quite multiplying their lives out, but I'm writing to you because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you children, not infants, because you know the Father. I've written to you fathers because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. It talks about little babies. Listen, your sins are forgiven you. But little babies, they do mess up, don't they? They need you. They need the nursery. They need the church. They need the mom. They need the dad. They need it desperately. To change their diapers, to feed them, to spoon feed, to bottle feed. Then as children grow a little bit, they understand a little more. They're no longer taking the bottle, but listen, there's some things to learn. But then when you get to the young adult stage in the Christian life, you're starting to overcome the enemy. You're starting to resist the enemy. You're starting to grow in ways that you've never grown. And then you become a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. And before you know it, you're reproducing your life. Let me ask the question, where are you today? Are you lost or found? And if you're found, where are you in terms of maturity in Christ Jesus? Good question to ask. Where are you? The Father asks. Where are you? Where am I? Is an assessment, an honest assessment to say, God, I don't want to be where I'm at. I want to move on. I want to grow. I want to move on to different places in my Christian walk, and I want to have a vibrant place. What I think about this same passage is that some of us are in sinful places. You're letting sin get the best of you. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 7 that there's a problem in all of us, and that's the problem of indwelling sin. It's the problem of indwelling sin. It's there. It's part of the old nature. But it's not who you are in Christ. And there is a battle every day, this battle to tempt and to destroy and to get you to go to the places that God says, listen, I don't want you to do this because when you do this, it's destruction. And that's what's interesting. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll see again in verse 8 that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, they hide themselves. And the first question is, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, verse 10, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you not to eat? And the man said, hey, wait, the woman, it's her fault. She gave me from the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. What is this you've done? Where are you? And what have you done? Just as I think that the question that says, where are you, is a great opportunity to be in a great relationship with God again, I think when God asks you, what have you done, it's another great opportunity, but it's an opportunity to find the grace, mercy, and freedom of God. Because when you're living in sin and you're hiding, and you're living secret sin, and you're hiding from the presence of God, and you're hiding from the presence of people, are you having a good time doing that? When God says, what have you done? It's an opportunity for grace. It's an opportunity for mercy. It's an opportunity for freedom. It's an opportunity for life. Do you remember the day you found Christ and you confessed your sin that was such a burden and God took it away and you went, I'm in Christ. Wasn't that a great day? Well, do you think that God says, okay, you only get one great day in your Christian life? Absolutely not. So he says, hey, where are you in your attitude? Where are you in this sin pattern that you're holding in? What have you done? And when he says that, I have this opportunity to confess it. And I get to confess my anger. I get to confess my bitterness. And I get to confess my lust. Did you hear what I said? I get to a heavenly father that says, oh, what have you done, son? What have you done, daughter? Yeah, I know he knows. And he knows that you're full of guilt. And he knows that you're full of shame, and he knows that you're full of all that stuff. But confession is powerful. I've quoted this verse often in the last few weeks. I quote it again. As a matter of fact, turn to it. Back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, if we say, no, that's not me, that's denial. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation of our sins. He's the atonement for our sins. He's the substitutionary death for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the whole world. That's why we don't run from God. We run to him. And when we run to him and confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's this great illustration in Scripture about this. It's in Luke chapter 15. I want you to turn there. Would you do that? Luke 15, and we're going to close with this. And so as we finish this up, I want to just encourage you to begin to ask the question, where am I and what have I done and what am I doing and who am I and what am I believing and how am I living as a result of that? So Luke chapter 15, verse 11, he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. You know, you may be here today and you've never squandered anything with loose living. Nothing immoral about your life. But you can be walking in anger today, in bitterness, in resentment, and grumbling and complaining that will find you in a far, far distant land where this man does. You may never have spent it all on prostitutes. You might be a faithful, faithful man, faithful, faithful woman in some of these areas. But let me ask you the question, where are you? When he spent everything, a severe famine, verse 14, occurred in that country, he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine, the pigs, were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? I'm dying here with hunger. I'll get up, I'll go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up, came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The Bible in the original says that he ran and he embraced him and continued. He kissed him over and over and over again. He said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he's been found. And they began to celebrate. Where are you? Are you in a pit today because of attitude and sin? You're just in the pit. You're in the pig pen. Well, let me say this. Number one, if you're in Christ, there's always someone waiting for you. Always waiting for you. And listen, if you're not in Christ and you're hearing this message, there's still somebody waiting for you. It's God the Father. Always waiting for you. That's why we run home. We don't run away. We run home under the blessing of our household that God grew us up in. There's always somebody waiting. There's somebody waiting to receive you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, we believe this today, that there is a restoration at hand, that God wants to restore you. So somebody's praying, somebody's waiting. Second, I believe also that if you're in Christ, that you're going to come to your senses. And that's just an honest assessment. This is where I'm at. This is where I don't need to be. I've got a heavenly Father over here who treats all of his people with great dignity and respect and honor. And I know if he does that, I can go back and I can get under his roof just as a hired servant. And he says, this is my assessment. I don't need to be here. I don't need to be in this pit. I don't need to be walking in this stuff. Not only does he come to his senses and makes an honest assessment, he makes an honest confession of his position and his failure. Dad, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you in your sight. No longer worthy to be called your son. It's an honest confession. It's a humility. And God gives grace to the humble. The fourth thing that he did was he was willing to submit to the appropriate discipline. There's a lot of us in here that have been walking in junk, and we want it all to be over today. But there are consequences. And some of these things take time. But I'm willing to submit to the appropriate discipline forever, how long, God, for whatever you need in my life. I'm willing to submit. I'll go, Dad, and I'll be your hired servant. But then the fifth thing I need to do is be willing to receive the full restoration of the Father's household. Listen to me. There's some of you that feel so guilty sometimes, and you don't think you deserve that. So you're not receiving what God is saying, and that's full restoration today. Where are you? Are you sinful today? Are there some things in your life that you're walking in that you need to get out of? Whether it's attitude, whether it's grumbling, complaining, whatever it is, there's freedom for you today. There'll be somebody here to pray for you, or just come to the altar. Come to the altar. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I want you to know that I've moved through a long season of reflection. It's propelled me to reflect daily. 2 weeks ago, I was thinking of some things that I'd been struggling with in the past and realized I still had some anger stuff going on in my heart. Unforgiveness. It's a week ago, Monday. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. These were things that were going on in my life in 08, our life. And I came to a realization on Monday, 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, that I was still in a place that I didn't need to be. Well, now, I'd come out of some things, don't get me wrong. There were some great things that God had been doing, but there were still some things that I've not walked in forgiveness toward. And I was encouraged by a friend to take a notebook and just to write all the things that that I was just hurt over. You know, that's what anger is and unforgiveness. It's stuff that you've gotten hurt over. Somebody wounded you, or maybe they didn't even mean to wound you, but you got wounded. Or maybe you were in the crosshairs of somebody else and you got it. And you got hurt. And in that hurt, you did not treat that wound the way God would have you treat it. And then it went into from disappointment to anger to unforgiveness. I say this to you, that was me. It's me. So I write these things out and I write them down. And, you know, there's a lot of these things that I feel okay about. I feel like I've walked through, but there were three or four that were still nagging me. And as I was writing them, and then some of these other things would come to mind and I'd write them down, and there were like 70 things. 70! My word! Went through the evening on that Monday night, and I tell you, couldn't sleep. Could not sleep. I woke up in the morning, and as I was moving through these lists, and just by an act of my will, saying, God, I don't feel it, but God, I believe it. I'm forgiving for this. I'm going to forgive for this one. I'm going to forgive for that one. And I journaled it. It was 7:11 in the morning that all animosity left. Is free. Let me ask you this question. Are you free today? God wants you to be free. Opportunity. The question, where are you, is a great opportunity today. It's an opportunity to get right in my relationship with God. It's an opportunity today to say, God, this is where I've been, and you know what? I need somebody. And you may not need somebody today. You may just need to get to the altar together with somebody and pray and just ask God, God, come. Move, I pray. Move. How is God moving right now? What is God saying? Bow with me. Father God, I come before you. I thank you, Father, for just this word today, the word that would say, ask us with such great concern, where are you? Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to hear that today and to get it right. And Lord, what have I done to confess that to you? God, I've been in this place. I don't want to be there, so I'm coming to you. And God, I don't know what to do. And folks, I'm going to say this. I can't tell you what to do. I can't show you how to do it. But you have the Holy Spirit, the living God, that teaches you about all things and will teach you how to abide in Jesus. So if you need to bypass somebody here and go straight to the altar, you come. You come. You come right now. Make your move. Someone in here that you've never been born again, and you know that you've never been born again. You don't have a relationship with God, and you know it. Come, lay it down. Somebody waiting for you. Somebody's been praying, ready to run to you. And it's God. It's God who comes running. Don't miss that opportunity today.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.